This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
And we have our next guest in studio with us in person, which is a real joy for us because it's been a while.
Yeah, because there's a bloody COVID. When's it over?
Yeah, it's any minute now, I hope. And they're here to talk to us about a new production that's coming up at the Arts Centre, which is really exciting because it's kind of the first adaptation of this particular production maybe ever?
Yeah, well, we should... do you want to tell the title of the production?
Yeah, well, okay. So we have with us today Gary Abrahams and Jana Zvednyuk. And they are here to talk to us about Yentl at the Arts Centre. Thanks for coming in, you two.
Thanks so much for having us. You're absolutely right. So most people are familiar with the title through the, you know, eponymous Barbara Streisand vehicle.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a different show altogether until I read the media release. I went, oh, no, it is that Streisand, but it's not a musical.
It's certainly not
so
a musical.
So, Puppy, can you hear me?
We're not going to hear it. No.
At all. But, you know, her film was, in fact, based on a short story by Isaac Bashevis-Singer, who's a contemporary writer writing in the 1960s and 70s, but he wrote predominantly in Yiddish. And I don't know how familiar you are with Yiddish, but, it's a very niche language now. It used to be the language of the Eastern European Jews prior to sort of World War II, but very, very few people speak it
now. Oh, okay. No, I had no idea.
Very few people speak it now. But it was his birth language, so he wrote all his short stories in Yiddish.
Right.
And so his short story, Yentl, is what Barbara based her film on.
Uh-huh.
But we absolutely...
butchered it.
Look, you know, the bones of the story are there. Essentially, Yentl is about, and you can speak about this a little bit, Jana, but...
Well, hold on. Before we keep on talking about it, let's find out who you are.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, give us your background. Because you've been on this show before, but we can't work out which show.
You know, I'm a freelance theatre director. I've been working in Melbourne as a director for about 12, 13, 14 years.
Uh-huh.
And I do
okay? You know, like, obviously through COVID it's been, you know,
hell.
Yeah. but up until then you were, you know, like getting the work?
You're always chasing the work. But
of course.
I've been really, really lucky in that I've got to work at main stage companies at Melbourne Theatre Company. I work at Red Stitch Actors Theatre a lot. I'm also an independent theatre director. And also sometimes commercial, you know, so I've had shows that have toured around Australia. I've worked with some really, really the biggest names.
What? Give us some examples.
So I did a show a couple of years ago in the before times called 33 Variations, uh-huh. which starred Ellen Burstyn, Academy Award winning actor.
Yep.
Also starred William McInnes and Lisa McCune.
We had her in the studio and I think you were with her, were you or not?
Possibly, possibly. Okay. You know, so that was kind of a big thing that I've done.
Yep.
I'm currently working on another show at Melbourne Theatre Company with Kat Stewart called Admissions,
uh-huh.
Which opens a week before Yentl opens. So
you are busy.
Been, after the past 2 years of being, you know, locked indoors and obviously not having very much work, it's been great to be so busy at the beginning of this year.
But, you know, like, what a terrible time, though, for, you know, the whole theatre system, all the arts, but
live theatre
and,
live performance in general. Mm. And I think, we really faced an existential crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, would people feel comfortable ever sitting in a room full of strangers again? The answer is yes.
We have to, unless you want to lock yourself away forever,
absolutely. And I found after each subsequent lockdown ended, audiences came back, to the theater.
People were hankering for it.
I
mean, like, the arts community was on its knees, but
we
got, like, consistently, that sounds a bit pretentious, we got back up. But I mean, you know, I think it was testament to, like, the endless resources of energy that the community had, because it was just like, you know, being whacked down, back up again.
Jana, give us your background.
I am an actor, I say tentatively, because I've just graduated from VCA, the Victorian College of the Arts, where I studied acting. So I did my final year in 2020, which was quite deathly. Like, we were in our rooms, like, for the whole year, acting on Zoom.
Yeah, which would have been so difficult.
Oh, it was a whack. It was bizarre.
Considering how physical so many of the, lessons are.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My old housemates all went to VCA and did acting as well. And there were so many times where they were like, yeah, today we all, like, rolled around on the ground together.
I was doing dance classes on Zoom, and then my father would, like, walk behind me in his Lycra after, like, his morning ride. And everyone would be going, oh. On the Zoom screens. It was a strange time, but I finished in 2020. I've been out for a year, and in that year I've actually been lucky, despite COVID, to have had some opportunities with work, a bit of theatre, a bit of film, and then fell into this.
All right, now off air we were saying that you walked into the part. So come on, Gary, tell us, how did
Yana
get into this?
I'll try to give the very kind of a brief version. So the show is being produced by Kedima Yiddish Theatre. You know, so they're a community organization whose sole purpose is about keeping Yiddish alive. You know, and we've done a couple of big public shows and. We were really interested in re-exploring this work, reclaiming it from Barbara Streisand, because it's a bloody interesting story, you know. And it's set in 1870 in a Polish shtetl. It's about a young girl who desperately wants to study, but in Orthodox Judaism, women are not allowed to study. Uh-huh. But she's passionate about that. And when her father dies, she kind of gets it into her head to cut off her hair, dress as a boy, and try and live as a boy so she can enter school, which she does. And on her journey there, she kind of meets a young man, Avigdor. They become best friends. She, of course, falls in love with him, but she is...
As a man.
Yep. He falls in love with her, but thinking she's a boy.
Aye.
He's also in love with another girl in the village.
And all the girls fall for me in my male disguise.
Avigdor loves ends up falling for Yentl / Anshul. So you end up with this really interesting sort of queer triptych, which is... Ooh, sorry.
Come in.
but in developing, and we developed the script over about a year and a half, I knew that I wanted to find, firstly, young cast, because these characters are quite young in the story. I wanted to find actors who could identify with Judaic culture, because there's a lot of it's a huge part of the story, you know. And
seeing the Streisand film, I learned a lot because I'm originally from Adelaide and I did not know any Jewish people in Adelaide.
Yeah.
So seeing that film when I was in Adelaide was really interesting.
Yeah, I come from a Jewish background, but very secular, and I've learned so much working on this.
Yeah.
But the other component of casting was that we knew about 30% of the show would be performed in Yiddish. So it's a bilingual show, 30% Yiddish, 70% English.
Right.
So we needed to find a cast who could also, if not natively speak Yiddish, because there aren't very few native Yiddish speakers, but could learn it. And I was chatting to somebody, an old teacher friend of mine, and I said, oh, I'm really having trouble. Like, how on earth am I going to cast this role? And she went, oh, my God, we have this fantastic actress that has just graduated, who is fluent in Russian, French, and Hebrew, who's Jewish. You have to meet her.
Whoa.
Wow.
So I rolled in.
And I was like, absolutely. So I contacted sort of Yana, and we did, because it was during lockdowns, we did a number of workshops over Zoom. And I thought, you know, instead of making her audition, I'll just invite her along to these workshops.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of how it began.
Mm. So how come you've got so many languages?
To clarify, I'm not fluent in Russian and Hebrew. I'm conversational in Russian and Hebrew. I'm fluent in French. The languages
impressive somehow.
I just don't want you to start speaking Russian and me to start flailing. My father was born in Ukraine, so he speaks Russian fluently, but then he moved to Israel at the age of 8 because of anti-Semitism, and he was born into communist Russia, which is pretty crazy. So he moved to Israel and he speaks Hebrew as well because he lived there for about 15 years. And then I learned French at school and I'm just a big nerd. So I just studied it really intensely and then went to France in my gap year and spent some time there. So that's how I speak French better than the other two. My dad did not raise me bilingual. He was quite selfish.
Would you have done it though? Because most young people go, nah, I don't want to learn that. Yeah, I want to be whatever country I live in and speak that language.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what would have happened. I just wish he hadn't forced it down my Yeah.
But you must have an extraordinary ear for languages, because you've never spoken a word of Yiddish in her life before. And she's performing about 20 minutes of text material.
Gosh.
Like, fluently, clearly, passionately.
Wow.
It's really, I mean, some of the most exciting moments in the play for me. One of the other performers is Evelyn Crape, who the audiences may be familiar with. And Jana and her have these huge arguments and scenes in Yiddish.
Yeah.
And they're electric. The show will be surtitled, you know, so anybody coming along.
Oh, okay.
Of course, it's surtitled. Yep. You can understand what's going on. But it's an incredibly visceral, rich language.
It's very onomatopoeic in that what you're saying is what you're feeling, like the sounds of the language. So it's so fun arguing in Yiddish. It's great.
And so, Gary, you can't understand a lot. Well, you didn't understand a lot of it. You would probably know it now because you've gone over it.
Well, I also wrote the play, so I know what they're talking about. So I wrote the play in collaboration with Galit Klass, who's one of the co-artistic directors of Kademi Yiddishida, and Elise Hurst, who is a playwright. And the three of us worked on this adaptation for a long time, it feels like.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very, you know, and then we engaged a translator.
Right, okay, to translate it back to
Yiddish. Yeah, you know, but we did work from the original sort of Yiddish short story, and it's been very eye-opening for me. I mean, Yiddish is more than just a language, it's also a culture.
Yeah.
It's a culture of people with their own mythology, history, stories. And the thing about Yentl, the original story is dark. It's really dark. It's not the sort of saccharine sweet sort of, you know, Barbara Streisand film.
Papa, can you hear me?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not
that. It's a world that is populated with sort of Dybbuks and ghosts and very, very kind of deep spiritual.
And that all comes out in this play.
Yeah.
That's been our task, absolutely. You know, it's a very, very layered, rich work. And our task as sort of makers and storytellers was about how do we realize that layer of the work for the stage. And it is inherently a queer story. You know, it is a story that is all about gender, all about gender performativity, and all about what actually is gender. And, you know, Yentl's sort of big central sort of quest is, I don't want to be a woman or a man. I just want to study. I just want to be, you know, I just want to be free to be what I am. And it's, I mean, he wrote the story in the early 1960s. So it's very progressive, very ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And Yentl as a character, I think, means a lot to a lot of people. I think if you're looking at it through a feminist lens, you claim her as a feminist icon. If you're looking at it through a transgender lens, you claim her as that. If you're looking at it through a queer lens, you claim her as that.
Yeah.
It's not our job to kind of choose a label for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's not our job to disallow anybody from claiming her as their own.
Now, you know, like you're doing this season at Fairfax Theatre at the Arts Centre. Wow, that's pretty cool. You can't just let it finish here. Surely you're looking at taking it on the road.
Look, I mean, yes, not yes, dreaming of that. I think this is the first staging of this new adaptation, you know, so it's the first tryout for it, and we'll see how it goes, how an audience responds to it.
Are you filming it at some stage?
Of course, yeah, we'll be filming it, and we absolutely want to be having sort of discussions. It's a very iconic title, you know, and actually, I will tell you a little secret. In order to get permission to adapt the short story, we had to work from the Yiddish short story, not the English translation of the short story, because Barbara still owns the intellectual property for that.
Okay.
She won't let anybody touch it.
Right.
Thanks, Babs. Yeah. We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, I just told everyone.
We just shamed Babs on the radio.
She listens to the show.
She's listening now.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I was. So there hasn't been another adaptation of the short story for 40, 50 years now.
Fantastic.
So it's really exciting.
Okay. Can't wait to see it. And congratulations on doing it. And
thank you.
And congratulations on all the bloody language. Smart ass, too much of an overachiever.
Leave me alone.
All right, Fairfax Theatre at the Arts Centre, 12th of March to the 26th of March.
Yeah.
Okay, and then a national tour.
And then an international tour, and then Broadway, and we'll see.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And we've been talking to Gary Abrahams and Jana Zvednyuk about Yentl, which, as David said, is happening at the Arts Centre very soon in March. And you are listening to Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.